This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Gillespie pulls up, he drains the three, an NBA three for Jacoby Gillespie. Now back, bounce pass inside, intercepted by Young. On the breakaway, Jordan Geronimo rises, great feed from Young, and a one-handed slam for Geronimo.
Yeah, we got with the transition defense, you know, Coach Izzo, this is probably maybe one of Coach Izzo's best teams in the last 10 years. They're very well connected. They rebound the basketball better than anybody in the country. And they really penalize you for turning the ball over. So for us, we got to make sure we get a shot every time down on the offensive end, and then we just got to get back, form a wall in transition.
So you heard the highlights from Maryland's last game, victory over USC, and then you heard Kevin Willard talking about Tom Izzo and Michigan State, and maybe one of the biggest games in College Park since, what, that game day here? Before COVID, when Maryland played Michigan State, it's 8th-ranked Michigan State here at the Xfinity Center to play 16th-ranked Maryland. It's a 6:30 tip, so we go till 5:30. We are live in the Maryland Club inside the Xfinity Center, and there's definitely a buzz around this arena.
Yeah, I'd say there's more of a palpable sort of twitchiness here on campus. You could feel, even Route 1 coming in as early as we do, you could tell that there was something cooking on campus here today, even more so than the Marquette game. There's been kids lining up. This should be, the pinnacle of college basketball in America tonight, I think, is in College Park. You look at this entire slate of games. You look at the programs playing across this country. I don't know that any game is better or bigger than this one. It's two teams that could realistically harbor Final Four expectations, and it's two teams that go about their business very differently in trying to get to that sort of end game. And styles make fights, and this is going to be a really interesting clash. And we've seen the Terps kind of oscillate from half to half, right? Sometimes they might get off to a crazy start in the first half. Sometimes they're disjointed in the first half, and then they shoot 70% from the field in the second half. I will say this about this game. If they can feed off the crowd, if they can play at their pace, if they can run the floor and set up some splash threes and get this place nuts, not that Izzo can't coach his way out of anything, because he can, but I just don't know that his team is going to be able to match 3-for-3. They're not built that way. And when you fall behind so far in an environment like this and you start playing the 2-for-3 game, you realize that's a losing proposition. So can they dictate pace and tempo? Can they establish an early lead and stay out of foul trouble, because we know they're not that deep? And then I think you start making the walls close in on Izzo and a team that doesn't have a whole lot of preternatural scorers of the basketball.
I think it's definitely a good point. If Maryland is able to jump out to an early lead where Michigan State has to take a little more three-point attempts than they're comfortable with, because, again, the Michigan State 350th in the country in three-point field goal percentage, 29.6%. Now, they're fewest three-point attempts in the Big Ten. They know who they are. They rebound and they play defense.
But can you get them outside themselves?
Exactly.
Just a reminder, and this was just a few weeks ago, Michigan State trailed Oregon at the half by 14. By the first TV timeout, they had erased that entire lead. They ended up winning by 12, so won the second half by 26. But that's a home game against Oregon. That's not on the road in a raucous building like it's going to be tonight.
I think this is a massive statement game for Maryland. Because you've won 8 of 9, and that's fantastic, and this isn't a knock against anything that they've done, but only one of those 8 wins have come against the team that's currently ranked, and that's Wisconsin, which was a totally quality win. The building was rocking during that. Maryland, especially over the last 7 to 10 days, starting to get a lot more national love. We knew that Andy Katz loved them, but John Fanta had him 12th in his latest AP Top 25. This is an opportunity to really make a massive statement moving forward.
Well, and look, the UCLA game at home is no slouch. Now, did they catch UCLA at the perfect time? I think in hindsight, we can look back and say they did. And maybe they're catching Sparty at the right time, coming off that big comeback against Michigan, their arch rival. And, you know, we'll see. But yeah, this is Maryland's last chance to make a statement at home. I mean, you can do nothing but hurt yourself against Northwestern. If you pummel them, you're supposed to. Yeah. And anything other than that, So this is kind of it. I mean, it's not senior night, but I think from an environment, from just a sort of emotional climate, everybody being heightened, everybody being fired up for the start of this, it probably will feel more like a senior night. And look, if it becomes a tight and close game, Michigan State's not going to beat themselves. They're allowing 67 points a game in conference, best in the Big Ten. They're second in rebounds per game. They're first in assists per game. They're third in assist to turnover ratio.
And they make 80% of it free throws.
Yeah.
They know how to put you away close.
Izzo,
and late.
Man.
Yeah, they know who they are. They know what they do well. And the longer that they're in this, and look, you don't think they're going to try to get Derek Queen in foul trouble early in this game? You don't think they've got a game plan to force Willard to go to his bench more than he would want to?
And I brought this up yesterday. That's an interesting storyline of tonight because it's vastly different in how these teams use their bench. Michigan State has 10 guys that average 15 minutes. The Terps, they only play their 5, especially in conference play. But even on the season, they only have 6 guys, DHS.
But again, Terps haven't played in, it feels like a week, but it's been half a week.
Yes.
And we know, this is sort of, this is a big one. Even if their 5 are all playing 33 minutes, I still think they need to try to run and gun and play this at a tempo and pace that forces Michigan to become a perimeter shooting team.
I'll tell you, there's just the difference in vibes. Well, had to move the car because it's parking lots are a big deal tonight because it's a big game. But coming walking back, and this is where this is before 2 o'clock, which is game doesn't start till 6:30. There are already kids out at the student entrance getting ready, throwing a football around. There's definitely some excitement on campus.
When I came in, the security guard who began her shift at noon said that there were kids lined up at that point at noon.
So we have a big show. As a reminder, we are live in the Maryland Club right inside Xfinity Center getting you ready for Maryland and Michigan State. It's a 6:30 tip, 5:30 pregame coverage. It's Mike Popovic right here on 105.7 FM. So we have a shorter show, but we are packed with information and guests. And guest-wise, Maryland assistant coach Greg Manning Jr. is going to join us here at 2:30. We'll get best bets, get Tim Murray from VSiN's thoughts on this game and some more college basketball thoughts. That's at 3:30. And Maryland Athletic Director Damon Evans joins us at 4:30.
And obviously we're not going to ignore the other sports in town.
Yeah.
Sagano goes 2 for the Birds. He makes his debut. I couldn't keep Tommy Pham down, but who can? Tommy Pham leading off for the Pirates.
Infield hit.
Warming the cockles of Freddie Gonzalez's heart.
Yes.
Obviously we will continue to dissect what the Ravens did and did not say during their combine media availabilities yesterday. I don't think we'll be hearing from EDC or Harbs for quite some time now, not until if they sign a big enough free agent that warrants a press conference or an extension, a new deal for Lamar.
Yeah, or
we
Kyle
can all
Hamilton
help
will get a presser.
Yeah. But short of that, this will probably be all we have to dissect for a while. And yeah, we'll have some shenanigans along the way as well.
We'll get those NFLPA report cards too, Bone. That was very interesting. But coming up next, as we get you ready for Maryland and Michigan State, Kevin Willer was on the Vinnie and Haney show, and Tom Izzo doing some media availability heading into this game. We'll hear from Coach Willer and Coach Izzo next here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a fan.
No, I mean, I think, you know, just do what this program has always done. Show up, be passionate, you know, get loud. You know, I know it's a 6:30 start and everybody hates 6:30 starts in the DMV, but. You know, battle with traffic, tell your boss you're not feeling well, the flu is going around, you got to leave early, hit Bentley's, get a couple pops in you, and, you know, get over here and cheer loud and cheer early.
Wow, Kevin Willard.
That sounds like the Jimmy Patsos plan.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
He's been hanging out with Sunshine.
He's advocating truancy and pops and
he's a coach after my heart.
Yeah, Coach Kevin Willard on Vinnie and Haney, and this is a sellout tonight. It's going to be a rockin' packed house. We are live at the Maryland Club inside Affinity Center, Maryland and Michigan State at 6:30.
Ken, you mentioned it. This is the biggest home game they've had since game day was here. And that was February 29th, 2020, just
Leap
a couple
day.
Of weeks away from the world shutting down. And
some of these kids were in middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great point. And the buzz is here. You can feel it on campus. You're going to get that electric Xfinity Center crowd.
Let's hear more from Kevin Willard. Said it took the team a while to settle into a tough Big Ten schedule.
The era of transfer portal and bringing some guys from different conferences. I think early in Big Ten play, you know, Jacoby Gillespie played at Belmont. Celt Miguel was at South Florida last year. Those early conference games didn't matter to them in the past. And I think it took a little bit of time for all these guys. Derek Queen's a freshman. You know, he doesn't know what KenPom and RPI and, you know, all, you know, the NCAA net mean. So I think it took some time for me to educate these guys on the fact that, you know, every game is a significant game. And, you know, I just think through talking to them, showing the seeding, showing them where Lenardi had us, where a win puts us, I think, you know, just by kind of educating them, I think their sense of urgency was so much greater as we went through the Big Ten Conference.
And let's look back on their non-conference schedule, and we talked in real time how weak it was, and obviously Villanova and Syracuse weren't at the time. Now, Villanova's gotten a little better, but Syracuse is terrible. Those games weren't the test that maybe they thought they'd be at the time they were scheduled. Marquette was the one test at home, and they got kind of psyched out by the crowd. But we talked in real time, Jason, like once they hit conference play, it was a different level, and these guys needed to adjust to it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, you do the face of sports across all denominations is changing, right? And the way we evaluate teams and terms like net rating and KenPom, right? When we were younger, it was RPI or whatever. So it is always changing. And you know, you do wonder, like, some of these kids aren't going to be in college that long to maybe even need to understand what it's all about. And others, when you're at smaller programs, you don't think of it in those terms. So that is pretty interesting, you know, that Willard basically had to kind of do KenPom 101. And here, you know, outside of just the standings, here's what the ramifications of these games could be. And here's why this campus is really so buzz. And even just, you know, you wonder, I don't know how many of these kids who are on this team dreamed of playing in the Big Ten, right? I mean, they're kind of, it's a collection of kids from other schools that geographically weren't really around the Big Ten. So do they even understand Izzo? You know, and like, how much do they know about what Izzo's done? Like, how much do they know about that program? I do imagine that there is a fair amount of education that goes on in those regards as well. Like, hey, this is who we're up against here. This is why this coach ain't like most of the other ones.
Well, something that is very easy to decipher is the fact that Michigan State has the number 8 next to them,
yeah,
too. So, you know,
absolutely.
You know what time it is. But you brought up last week, because Willard basically had a similar quote to that, where that is not the typical coach speak of, hey, Michigan State, we got to worry about them before we do anything else. The resume. He's talking about the big picture. He's talking about their resume as they're coming towards the end of the regular season, which, quite frankly, I don't mind the fact that he's having those conversations with the team.
One more from Coach Willard, who was on with Vinny and Haney. And, of course, the game has changed with the transfer portal, and he talks about the new role of college basketball coaches in the portal era.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's tougher. I just think it's much, much different. I think, I've already started to switch to my GM hat. You know, we're going through what our roster is going to look like next year, where we need to spend our money, what we're going to spend our money on, things like that. So I think it's, I have one of the best jobs in the world. I just think it's changed so much dramatically that, you know, you just got to change with it. You got to adapt to it. The roster building is now what it is. It's not enjoyable because you lose.
Yeah,
you lose guys that you really like and you really want to keep, and that you've really invested time and effort into. But it is what it is. You just got to go out and hopefully get the next guy and build the best roster, and then you build that roster, and then you got to work with it and get it to be as good as possible.
No. To his point, more and more schools are hiring GMs. Like Mike Lombardi is Bill Belichick's GM at Carolina. They just hired a GM for the basketball program. You know, he talks about putting on his GM hat. There's probably going to come a time when they hire a GM for their basketball program.
Why wouldn't you hire Jimmy Patsos for a job like that?
Sunshine.
That's a layup.
He knows all the recruits.
Yes.
He knows all the
all
AAU.
The schools.
He knows the amateur programs. He knows the high school programs. He knows the other college coaches you'd be competing against for these things.
Knows the quickest way to Bentley's.
Yes. Knows
Great with people.
Yes.
Gets along with anyone.
Yes, he
unfettered
does.
Unfettered access to the Wyman Industries private
Sunshine
plane.
does get unfettered access. That is for sure. So, yeah. he has our vote, Jimmy Patsos.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes some sense.
Yeah.
He could probably do the men's program and the women's program.
He could do both. Yes. Yes.
Throw football on it.
Yeah, no, let's not go crazy. Okay, all right. Let's, all right. Let's,
hey, come on. I do not limit Jimmy Patsos.
No. Yeah, but
that's one thing I do not do.
I think starting with the men's and women's program would probably be enough on his plate.
That makes sense.
Frankie the Wonder Pup, you know, he's got other responsibilities.
Yes. Let's hear from the other coach in this matchup, Tom Izzo, and talks about the Terps potentially having the best starting five in the Big Ten.
But as far as Maryland goes, this might be the best starting five in the league. If you look at three guards that are shooting over 40% from the three, Miguel and Rice and Gillespie is as talented as any guard in this league. And then their two bigs are, you know, guys that we've played against Reese for 3 years. This is his fourth year. He's big, strong. He's gained weight. He's averaging 14-9. And Queen has talked about being a lottery pick. He's big. He's a freshman. He may be as good as any in the league.
So, yeah, they're the crap five. That sounded like
put some respect on
Miguel.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, put some respect,
on his name.
He'll know his name after today.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm Coach Willard, I'm playing that clip there. Hey,
he seems to be pulling the old man card.
Granddaddy, the Big Ten. Steelers don't really know your name. Yeah. What are we going to do about this?
Miguel. Yeah.
He'll be pronouncing it correctly by halftime.
Well, let's hear another one from Coach Izzo. Talks about the Terps' lack of depth.
Now, they do play a lot of minutes. Their depth hasn't been – they haven't played as many players or as many players with minutes. Hopefully, that would be an advantage, although they've had a pretty long rest now. They had from Thursday on. And so both teams should be ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, we know that Maryland gets a large percentage of their scoring from their starters. And on the flip side, Michigan State, where they play 10 dudes.
So 10 guys that play 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But, again, it's not just – looking at this schedule and how top-heavy it was for the Terps in terms of the conference portion of it, but it was also the way the travel was kind of all bunched together and the longer trips and the multi-day trips and the Pacific Northwest week trip were all kind of clustered. And then you looked at this stretch and said, man, they're getting a lot of teams that aren't as talented as them. They're getting them at home. The road games are spread out, and they've basically been on a Thursday-Sunday program for it feels like a month. And then, you know, now we get a Saturday at Penn State, and then we're pretty much wrapping this thing up with Michigan and Northwestern. But through the dog days, as Coach Izzo just kind of spoke to, I feel like the schedule for, especially for a team that's not the deepest in the country, set up pretty well for them, and good on them for taking full advantage.
Maryland, Michigan State tonight, 6:30 pregame coverage starts at 5:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. We're live inside the Maryland Club here at Xfinity Center. And coming up next here on the program, we'll continue to preview this matchup. Assistant coach Greg Manning Jr. joins us next here on The Fan. We are arguably 4 hours away from the biggest game at the Xfinity Center. And when we say 5 years, that leap day game against the Michigan State Spartans, February 29th, 2020. And joining us now to talk about it, we're live in the Maryland Club inside Xfinity Center. It's Assistant Coach Greg Manning Jr. And Greg, thanks as always for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. How's it from a coaching perspective? You want to make they're all the same, but like this one's got a little extra juice to it.
Yeah, you have to approach every game the same way, no matter who you're playing, what time of year you're playing. Obviously, your next game is the most important, but you're right. This has a little juice to it. We were just talking off air. You guys said there's students camping out already trying to get in. So it just has a different feel when a team like Michigan State's coming in here and a really good Michigan State team. Coach Izzo has done an unbelievable job there for the last 30 years, and he's one of the best coaches in the country. He's kind of the godfather of the Big Ten. So it just has a different feel to it. And two really good teams face off today. And just a great opportunity for both of us, a good opportunity for us to get a top 10 win, an opportunity for them to get a road win against a really good team. So should be a lot of fun tonight.
You guys are one of the hottest teams in the country right now, having won 8 of 9, but got off to a slow start in the Big Ten, started 1-3, 3-4. Was there a game or a moment where you could sense this turnaround was coming?
No, I think we were confident in this group. You know, we really liked the kids we brought in. I think a lot of teams go through it. Like, you're trying to piece it together. You're trying to figure it out, who's going to play and how guys need the ball, where they need the ball. So it obviously wasn't easy starting out three of your first four Big Ten games on the road. And one of them was at Purdue, which was a tough place to play, as always. And then we went out west. and should have probably played a little better out there. We didn't play our best basketball out there. There's no excuse for that. But we came home and we just kept doing the same thing. We just kept grinding. We kept practicing hard. The young guys, Derek, started to get a little bit better and started to get a little more comfortable. And we shortened our rotation down a little bit, obviously, with the five guys playing a lot of minutes. Our bench has gotten better, and they do help us a lot. But I don't think there was any particular moment. We just kind of just stayed with it and just, we started stacking some wins.
Coach, your opponent tonight has a lot of the hallmarks of Izzo basketball team. Scrappy, they fight, they win the battle for the boards, they don't give up much defensively, elite assist-to-turnover ratio. But they're not a great outside shooting team, and they maybe don't play or can't play maybe as efficiently at the high pace that you guys can when you're really running and gunning. How important do you think it could be to feed off this energy tonight, to play at your tempo and maybe have them try to trade twos for threes?
Yeah, absolutely. They, a Tom Izzo team's always run, right? They always get out. They're a little bit. We made the comparison to Iowa. Iowa runs, but they run for threes, where Michigan State's running to get to the rim. So their wings run at a high level. Like you mentioned, a second ago, probably not his most talented team he's had. I've been here 7 years, and he's had some really, really talented team. But it's kind of his kind of team, just a bunch of guys that are really good players. He's got them connected. They play well together. Doesn't look like there's any egos on that team. A lot of guys that can score in double figures any given night. So, hopefully the crowd helps us. And you're right, we have to run on them as well. We put a lot into getting back in transition. And then secondly, making sure we box out. They're one of the best rebounding teams, offensive rebound teams in the country. But we do have to get out. We're really good in the break. We can shoot threes. We can get to the rim. So that's going to be a big part of the game, and hopefully we can run with them for 40 minutes.
We're talking with assistant coach Greg Manning Jr. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. We talked this week about how, like, last year's team had expectations, and obviously they didn't live up to it. And then Coach Willard and you guys go into the portal and you identify what you need, and you bring in three shooters and you bring in Derek Quaid, like, completely revamped. And I guess it's the new world of college basketball, but, like, the off season, when you're thinking, well, last year we really couldn't shoot from the outside, like, we have to go get guys that shoot the basketball.
Yeah, I think, and we coach wanted a big emphasis on that. We knew we had you coming back, and once we secured Derek, we knew we had to surround those two guys with shooters. So obviously the three guys that we brought in out of the portal, when you talk about Jacoby Gillespie, Rodney Rice, and Selt Miguel, all shot it at a high level at their previous school. Rodney was kind of the X factor. We weren't sure what we were getting out of Rodney just because he hasn't played a ton. He was hurt, and then he left school. But we had seen him. We recruited him out of high school, so we knew how good he was. At the time, Mike Jones was on our staff who coached him at DeMatha, so he kind of swore by him. But it was important to go get guys that could really shoot the ball, and luckily that's carried over to here for those three guys. Gillespie and Miguel are shooting well over 40%, and Rodney's right there. Rodney's a great mid-range shooter as well. So it's just spaced the floor for the big guys. It's made it harder to double-team those guys. And then when they do, we can spray it out for threes. And it's a lot more fun sitting there when you think it's going in, when it leaves their fingers, than last year when you're praying that it would go in. So it's made a big difference in this year's team.
And Coach, you mentioned the one guy, the holdover, and that was Julian Reese. And he's a unicorn in today's college basketball when you consider staying at one school for 4 years,
right,
having two different head coaches in the process. You've been around him his entire career at Maryland. Just how have you seen his game evolve and him grow as a person?
Yeah, he really has. Juju's a great kid. He's a Maryland kid. He's a homebody. Obviously, everybody knows his sister was here, and his family's from here. He went up to school up the street at St. Francis. So I just think Julian really loves Maryland, and he never even thought about leaving this place, which is kind of cool and rare, like you said, these days. And he's just consistently gotten better. Every single year, he's gotten a little bit better. And that's what happens when you stay at a program and you have some consistency with coaches and teammates and stuff like that, and he's comfortable here. And we just told him, like, this is your team, and he's been the leader. He's starting four guys with him that weren't here last year. So I think he's been really good for Derek. That's a tricky situation when you're bringing in an All-American, a really good player, a one-and-done kid. The first thing we did was ask Jew, hey, do you want him here? Do you want us to recruit him? And he said, absolutely. They played together in high school. So Jew's been great for him and Derek's growth. And Derek, the same way, has been great for Jew. He's pushed him in practice to have somebody at that level to go against. So just really happy for him, really happy for his success. He's having a great year, and hopefully plays great tonight.
Well, he's part of the most prolific starting five in college basketball, and the Crab Five thing we're all here for. We love that. But just looking at this matchup, I had a feeling like somebody like Geronimo, like, this might be his kind of jam. And I'm wondering, Kapari, like, he was instant sort of energy for a while and explosiveness above the rim that'll make these kids go crazier if we could see it. But Where is he health-wise? Because it seemed like maybe we haven't seen him at that level since he got sick.
Yeah, we're going to need both those guys tonight. And you know, Jordan early in the year got hurt and was sick and was out, missed some time. He was playing well. And then Geronimo 2 weeks ago was out for almost a full week, was sick. So it's tough. When you're out a week, you miss a lot, right? Yeah. Not just your conditioning, but you miss the game reps. You miss the practice reps, new stuff you're putting in, game planning. So we feel good about where they're both at. Geronimo's come back. He's going to play tonight. It'll probably be the most minutes he's had since he came back. But we're going to need him. You know, Michigan State, they play four big guys. I think we were talking about it. They play guys 18 minutes, 17 minutes, 14 minutes, 20 minutes. So we can't just throw Jew and Derek in there for 38 minutes. It's not going to work. They'll just wear you out. So we're going to need Geronimo and Gapari's athleticism. They're going to have to play tonight. So looking forward to getting those guys in there. And they know that. They're ready for it, and they're ready to step up.
We kind of see Selton Miguel as that guy that, like, hits the 24-hour fitness, and he's like, what was the Kyrie Irving character, Uncle Drew?
Yeah,
Uncle Drew. Like we feel like Selton's lived a little. Like, I think he started his college career when you were playing at Loyola. Seriously, though, like, having that kind of, I don't know if old head's the right thing, but, like, he's a...
Nothing
he's
probably phases
yeah, him. Yeah, he's yeah, lived yeah, a little.
No, like, you're right. He's funny, man. I don't know how old he is. I don't know Selton is. So, but he was, you know, his cousin, he's related to Bruno.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool, and Bruno actually just sent me a message. But yeah, Selton, he's just older. He's been through it. He's been to different stops. He played for some really good coaches, Bruce Weber, and so he knows it. It's funny because something will go wrong in a game, and he'll tell the coaches, like, just stay with us, man. Stay with us. Stay with us. You know, you get frustrated at times, but he's just been through it. He's mature. He played this summer for the Angolan national team, so he played against, you know, high level competition at the highest level. So nothing fazes him. He can shoot the hell out of the ball. And his game is kind of like the guy at the YMCA. You know, he puts it on the floor and get to his spots and can rise up. But just a leader. He's been a great for the young guys. So they kind of see how he approaches it. He approaches every day like a pro, just his work ethic. So he's been really good for us.
Coach, tell us about your journey to this point, because you obviously started here in 2018 as a video coordinator, then a director of operations, now assistant coach. Of course, your dad played for the program.
Just and also, he also played and coached with our friend Jimmy Pepsin.
Yeah, I should have led with that. Yeah. I should have led with
played
that.
Played for and coached with Jimmy
Pepsin. Yeah, it's been great. You know, it's unique to be able to coach. I'm lucky to be here. When I got here 7 years ago, you just don't know what's going to happen in this business, and it's hard to stay somewhere that long. But I had an opportunity to play for Coach Passos up the street at Loyola. He was the best. Loved Jimmy, and then coached with him for 10 years at Loyola and Siena, and then came here. I had a couple opportunities to go be an assistant at some mid-majors, but kind of wanted to get to the highest level. So, new Coach Turgeon, just from the recruiting ranks and being a local guy. So he brought me in. He had a spot as a video coordinator and just kind of worked my way up, was able to stay on with Coach Willard. When Coach Willard was at Iona, I was at Loyola, so we were in the same league competing against each other. And it's funny, I met Coach Willard in the Canary Islands on a recruiting trip. Had no idea he was out there. And we actually spent 4 or 5 days together. He kind of took me under his wing when I was 25 That's cool. years old, and we just went to dinner every night and got to know him. So I was praying for him to get the job, to be able to hang on, and kept me on, and then obviously elevated me to assistant coach.
That's
so
awesome.
It's been great, man. I love it here. My family loves it here. You know, it's Terps runs in my blood.
One thing that we found interesting in hearing, you know, clips from him on the coach's show that he does Tuesday nights on our broadcast network and post game, like, at the micro level with Derek Queen, yeah, it's the here and now, but the big picture of, hey, here's where you are right now in these mock drafts, and here's where it could be. And then also talking about the team, yeah, there's the here and now and Sparty, but it's also what this could mean for our seeding. And the big picture, he doesn't seem to fear talking about the big picture and the long and sort of the end of the year expectations through the journey, both for individuals and the team.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. And some coaches don't do it, but Coach Willard does. And we've talked about it from day one, starting June 1st when we started workouts. Our goal was, one, to win a Big Ten championship regular season tournament, get to the NCAA tournament, make a run at the Final Four. And I think we've put ourselves in position to do all that. We're going to have to win out here probably to get a share of the title, but four games, we think we can win them all.
Yeah.
You know, we've won, nine out of 10, I think. So, he has. And we talk about it every day. We're just trying to position ourselves for a double bye in the Big Ten tournament, and then position ourselves for the best seed we can get in the NCAA tournament to give yourself a chance. And that's what tonight's about. This is a big game for that, for both of those to jump up a level in the Big Ten standings. And then hopefully, I think they're projecting us at a 4 or 5 seed right now to stay in that line. So, obviously the better seed you get, the better chance you have at making a run. So, yeah, we talk about it. He's up front with the guys. You know, he is very upfront with Derek Queen, and Derek's come here and had a lot of expectations on him, and he's kind of lived up to him, I think. So they talk about it all the time. He is a lottery pick in our minds. I think just talking with scouts, I think he's going to end up in that lottery, maybe even higher. But just a great kid who's kind of worked his way up to that and really earned it. But Coach Willard's a big part of that. He's given him the ball in a lot of situations. He's given him freedom. He's playing him 38 minutes a game. So, but it's good for the program. You know, if Derek's a one and done, it's great for us for the next kid. So we're hoping all the best for Derek after the season.
Before we let you go, Coach Sunshine, Jimmy Patsos asked me to ask you about the post-game celebrations at the Owl Bar.
Oh, man, the Owl Bar in Baltimore are the best. When we were up at Loyola, we used to – Jimmy, it's funny. I don't know if he can do it anymore, but Jimmy, would the head coach, and would leave, and we'd all go to the Owl Bar, and he'd open the tab, and, I mean, it'd be thousands of dollars. And it'd be everybody from Baltimore in there, who's who. You know, you had high school coaches in there. You had fans. And you had family, so there'd be 50, 60 people in there after the games. But he could really coach, and he could really throw a party, man.
He could hold court.
Yeah, Jimmy, and he was the man in there, man. The Owl Bar was our spot, so good place. I missed the Owl Bar in those days.
Terps and Michigan State tonight at 6:30. Pregame coverage starts here on 105.7 The Fan at 5:30. Greg Manning Jr., thank you so much for your
thank
time,
you,
man.
Guys,
we appreciate
thank you, guys.
It.
Appreciate it.
Hey, we'll come back. Orioles are playing spring training ball against the Pirates. We'll give you an update next here on The Fan.
He bounces this double play ball to second. And there's a 4-6-3 DP. That's Jackson Holliday for Baltimore, tossing it to Levon Soto playing shortstop, and then Ryan Mountcastle receiving a relay from Soto for the DP.
That's Pirates Radio on the call. We are live at the Xfinity Center inside the Maryland Club, getting you ready for Terps and Michigan State at 6:30 right here on 105.7 Fan. But other things are going on, including Orioles baseball, and Tomoyuki Sugano made his first spring training start today, went 2 innings, 2 hits, 1 walk, did not give up any runs. And Jason, you were looking at the some of the raw numbers. He's got quite a pitch mix and a velocity range.
Yeah, he threw 6 different pitches, which, again, he only threw 28 pitches total. So he sprinkled 6 different pitches in. He had a curveball that came in as low as 74 miles an hour. His four-seamer. Yeah, his four-seamer topped out at 93. He's throwing a cutter around 86, 87. His changeup's coming in around 85. So within a lesser range, he is obviously changing speeds. I mean, look, they made a fair amount of contact. They put 7 balls in play. I think that's what you're going to get with him. You're just hoping it's mostly ground balls.
Yes.
And you're hoping the fly balls, they get under and they land on the warning track or in somebody's, you know, somebody's glove or whatever. There have been pitchers who've come over from other leagues and the first 3 or 4 outings have been abysmal because they hadn't done enough in the offseason to adjust to the ball and the grip and the way that the ball is doctored here differently than it is in Japan or Korea or even the Mexican League. There's guys who come over here and they just it's like a shock to their system. They don't necessarily seem up for it. It's like, whoa, this is even Grapefruit League, not quite what I was expecting. So the fact that this was a business-as-usual kind of outing, I think, is all you could hope for. The fact that he was able to basically show off his whole arsenal is great. The velocity is just, like, again,
that's who he is.
His margins are going to be incredibly slim. That's not to say he can't thread the needle, but he's going to have to thread a needle.
Hey, absolutely. Well, the command is going to have to be there. Now, he did have 1 walk today, but I mean,
one of the hits was an infield.
Exactly. And he does not walk people, you know, when he was in the Japanese league. So, yeah, look, obviously you'd like to see this as opposed to him getting hammered, but getting that nice pitch mix in through 28 pitches, 17 for strikes. So you hope that he can build on it.
Orioles and Pirates are tied at 2 in the 6th inning. Levon Soto has an RBI base hit, and Dylan Carlson has an RBI base hit.
And something I wanted to point out that was in the highlight that Beltway Ben played there, they're doing what I said they should do.
Yes.
Jackson Holliday and Bradenton on a B game, even though it's not with Gunner, put him at second base because there might be some double play balls, and that's an area he needs to work on. He said it himself. His timing, the flip, having the flip be on time and accurate, it's one more sort of subtly nuancy thing that I don't even know how many double plays balls he fielded at Norfolk. He only played 40 games at second base there. So I'm glad he's traveling. I'm glad he's playing A games and B games. And I'm glad they're keeping him exclusively at second base because he's never going to be a shortstop.
Well, ultimately, he's not above that. He's 21 years old. He's still a baby in terms of his experience at the major league level and especially at the second base position.
Yeah, it was not smooth a year ago. Yeah, it was off. It was clunky.
He should be playing in these.
He did go 0-for-2 but did walk, which is a good sign for someone that was very much a free swinger.
Just get on base.
Yeah. So he does have the walk. But yeah, the cardiac O's in spring training baseball, they were down 2-1, but they have since tied the game at 2. As far as guys of note, Andrew Kittredge made his first spring training appearance, though, man, one inning, two hits and a walk. He did strike out 2.
Yeah, and there was a ball that came off Gary Sanchez's bat at 112 miles an hour. So that's, we'll talk about him a little bit more on tomorrow's show. But that's, you know, it's legit right-sided power. And can he get his bat on the ball enough? Because when he makes contact, there's the ability for him to still really strike the ball and do damage. But he's also a guy who can be prone to getting in some funks. And how many at-bats they get for him, how they juggle it, I still think there's a third catcher in this mix at some point. Like I'm not talking about Pasayo or anything that would affect his long-term development. That's where but I just wonder if not everybody steps up and O'Neill is banged up, which happens, and now you've got this right-handed power bat that you don't think you're getting to enough, and there's no more Tony Taters there from both sides of the plate. I just wonder at some point in time, Gary Sanchez is DH-ing a little bit. We already said Adley's got to catch more.
Yes.
And if there's a third catcher in the mix.
We are live from the Xfinity Center inside the Maryland Club, which is absolutely beautiful as we get you ready for Terps hosting Michigan State. It's a 6:30 tip, pregame coverage 5:30 here on The Fan. But coming up next, we get back to the Ravens. And the main stories out of yesterday, non-Justin Tucker division, were the Ronnie Stanley and Mark Andrews comments. Optimism on Ronnie Stanley, and it sounds a little bit like he gone with Mark Andrews. But we'll discuss next here on The Fan.